But I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the Midnight Rider.
Chris McMonagle.
Yeah!
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! He's been doing it forever and he still manages to get me. McMonagle here with you on this Wednesday morning on a 5-hour midnight ride. I'm surrounded by Met fans back there. Everybody's wearing the jerseys. Rosenberg's here, blasting the music. Go ahead, blast it for a second. There you go. Fliegelman will be with me for the rest of the ride, though, as we got you till 5 a.m., 888-808-1019. On another glorious day to be a Met fan. As I've said before, and I think me and Keith said to each other as we passed each other, as I was heading in, he was heading out, it's a Mets world, and we're just living in it. That is what's going on right now with this Met team. And yes, you heard Pete there in the high. Obviously, I'm sorry. Thank you, Paul. You have yourself a great evening. I understand that we want to say that this Met team could have or had excuses to, or, hey, I mean, off of the last couple of days, nobody would have been surprised if they came out flat. I would have been surprised. I was surprised they showed up flat last Tuesday against Atlanta. I was surprised they started the first two games of that final season series against Milwaukee flat. I was surprised because I expect this team to show up in the manner they did in this game. I expect it at this point. I'm surprised when they don't. So while, yes, I'm going to give them credit, I'm not trying to take away the credit, I don't think it's even a talking point of what a superb job they did coming off of yesterday. That's what needs to be done, and this team has done what needs to be done every single stinking time. So I did not expect anything less than the bounce-back performance that you got, and they did the thing I love the most. If you've listened to the show and you've heard me talk about the Mets, one of the things I love about the Mets most as we talk about their bounce back capability and their resiliency, what I love about it more than just responding to bad losses or, you know, dealing with injuries or whatever else when we talk about resiliency, when they bounce back after the other team scores in game more than any team I can remember. And this offense did it again yesterday. Where Severino, and we're going to get to Severino in a second because he deserves a hell of a lot of praise here, and we're going to get to him in a moment. But Severino, without getting hit all too hard, and one of the runs is on a hit batter. But he gives up two in the first and a little bit of a shaky first inning, and you're in the bottom of the first after the Mets go down 1-2-3 rather meekly and easily in the first inning against Peralta. And you're thinking, oh boy, here we go. I've talked about Severino in the postseason. We know his Yankee history. The game in Atlanta, again, not getting knocked around the ballpark, but just not what you're hoping for in a big-time start from one of your prime pitchers here. And immediately, the Mets bounce back. Immediately, you get the base hit from Vientos. Immediately, you get the walk from our guy, Pete Alonso. And then immediately, the guy who was put in there, we hadn't seen in a couple days, dealing with a back issue. Winker comes through with the triple. He ties the game up. He's yelling at them. Immediately, he plays his persona of being the evil villain perfectly, except this time it's for the New York Mets. You get the third run on a sacrifice fly, and immediately this team punches back. It is my favorite thing about this Met team. More than the resiliency off bad losses, more than how good the manager is, more than some of the signings of Stearns and how they've panned out this year, or nobody expected us to be here, anything else, or Grimace. My favorite thing is in these big games, they always seem to bounce back in game. I love it. They never allow a deficit to fester. They never allow momentum to be built by the other team. And then after the fourth inning, when the Mets give up and Severino gives up the two runs to make it 4-3, what happens in the fifth? Well, first you get the gift of all gifts from Pat Murphy, the manager, the possible NL manager of the year, who decides to take Peralta out. God knows why. He had, and in the post game, if you heard him, they say to him, you know, Peralta had settled down after that second inning, and he retired the last nine batters. And he's like, well, did he really retire nine in a row? Like, yeah, he did. He did. He had completely settled down and retired nine straight batters, and instead, they lift him once they got the lead. Now, I know they've got a good bullpen. I get it. And this goes to an interesting question, and it reminded me of something Buck Showalter once said about managing the American League and managing the National League, about how sometimes decisions are made for you, and that can make things easier. Like, you know, in the National League, oh, you're in a rally, you got to pinch hit for your pitcher. I know this goes back to when before the DH was in everything in both leagues, but sometimes situations dictate what you have to do. And it felt like Mendoza had really no option but to stick with his starting pitcher, considering where the bullpen is. And Murphy had the option of this relief, his bullpen that has had a good September, certainly, and a good overall second half, and had the ability to mix and match, and felt like, hey, you know, Peralta's not at his best necessarily. Had a little rocky third inning, and now I have all these guys, plus I have a lead, and I can see myself mapping it out to the end. But it was a terrible decision to take out his ace. Now they're in a worse spot with the bullpen than the Mets are in the next two games. It was an absolute break that the Mets got in this game, and immediately in the fifth inning, they make them play. Make him pay, excuse me. You get the robbed home run, or the inning could have been even worse from Marte. You get the benefit of the doubt or a lucky break with Chirios misplaying the Taylor double play. And then after Alvarez flies out, they have a runner at second base and two outs. I mean, this Met team, they have a runner at second base with two outs, and they proceed to score five runs. I mean, the great at-bats put forth in that inning, and what we saw in the first game of the doubleheader, the infamous game we'll be talking about forever, especially if this leads to something special here, but the at-bat quality, and Iglesias again going the other way and hustling, and this time the Mets getting the benefit of a pitcher late to cover first base. But another infield single from him. Vientos with immediately the base hit. Alonso the walk, and then, like, it's just such a good, rally considering the good at-bats. And then you put Murphy in a position where he brings in his lefty to get out Nimmo. And once Nimmo reaches on the infield single, now you got murderer's row of right-handed hitters up for the Mets. Like, it was a bad inning for them. It was a great inning for the Mets. And to have that rally and blow the game open, right? And to have good moves, like obviously Vientos comes through, and then you pinch hit for JD, for Winker, and it just feels like everything Mendoza's doing is right. Like, he starts Winker, he comes through with the base hit early. It sets him up to pinch hit him when they make the move for the lefty in the big rally, and JD Martinez comes through with the base hit the other way to score two runs and really break this game open. I mean, the offense is just so opportunistic. When you think about it, they're down a run with a runner on second and two outs. And they proceed to blow the game open. And not with home runs, which they scored eight runs in this game without hitting a home run. But they blow it open with just good quality at-bats and going the other way and hustling. And a mistake by the other manager, and they take advantage of everything. And they bounce back with three in the second. They bounce back with five two-out runs in the fifth. And then you get to Severino for me, because, yes, Severino was shaky in this game to start. No doubt about it. He was looking like he was going to have one of those starts where it's two in the first, then it's two in the fourth, then it's three in the fifth. It's one of those games we've seen a million times, and the Mets weren't in a position that the Brewers were with a rested bullpen. They weren't in a position to mix and match and feel good about trying to cover a lead all the way to the end. They take that lead in the fifth, and you have to send Severino back out there. I think it's a no-brainer. You have to do it. Now, you can't allow him to get in trouble again or give up runs necessarily, but you got to send him out there. And when you look at starting pitching in this league, and when you look at big games, right, sometimes you're looking for dominance. Sometimes you're looking for just figuring it out. But mainly what you're looking for in a starting pitcher, and what you're looking for in a big-time game like this from your guy that you trust game one of a series, whether it's because they were playing, you know, Manaea pitched and, you know, Severino might not be the perfect guy or who they want and you feel great about game two. But Severino's the guy who started this game. Severino's guy with ace kind of like stuff. Severino's the guy who's been in this position before in big games, pitching for this market in big games, in the postseason. And what you desperately need is to keep them close, sure. But what you desperately need is to turn it on once your team gets a lead. And for me, that's the difference in this game. The difference in this game is despite having nine straight outs from the other team's ace, he was not given an opportunity as the ace starting pitcher of his staff to go out there and protect the lead for his team. And the Mets and Mendoza gave Severino the opportunity to go out there with a lead. Now, a big one, albeit, but a lead. And he went out there and had a shutdown fifth and a shutdown sixth to allow them to get to Buddo and put this game on ice. And the Brewers never got another man on base after the fourth inning the rest of the game. But that's where Severino makes his money in this game. That's where Severino is a hero in this game. Because once you get the lead, Severino wasn't pitching that great. Severino was shaky. Severino was having a tough time putting runners out, putting runners away, putting batters away. And instead of allowing that to continue and force this team that doesn't have much of a bullpen, considering what they had to do over the weekend, considering what Monday had to look at like, for him to go out there and give a 1-2-3 fifth and a 1-2-3 6 and allow you to get to at least the seventh inning where you can then throw Buddo for multiple innings there and take you home. And I know Stanek comes in for the ninth, but that's where Severino is the star of this game. Those two innings. And you might look at it, you might say, well, listen, it wasn't that great. And you look at the line and you go, well, he gave up four runs in six innings. It's not even a quality start. Whatever you want to say, what you need your guy to do, whether it's Severino, whether it's Manaea, whether it's Michael King, I'm watching highlights of him out in San Diego, whether it's Gerrit Cole, whether it's whomever, whether it's Peralta, Freddie Peralta, who wasn't given opportunity to. Your job in these games is to hold the lead. Hold the lead. And that's exactly what Severino did. And this team yet again gets up, yet again has impressive at-bats, yet again comes through. And Vientos, with two hits in this game, starts the rally in the second, extends the rally in the fifth. J.D. Martinez comes in. He's been in a slump, 0 for whatever. Gets a couple hits the last game of the season. Doesn't get the start for Winker in this game. And that's like, it's just one of those things where the manager right now is pulling all the right buttons. Typically, you push them. He's pulling them. He's pushing all the right buttons. He starts Winker off of not playing for a couple days and really in a bit of a slump over the last few weeks. He comes through with the game-tying triple. Then you're in a position where they bring in the lefty, have to face a minimum of three. He can't get out Nimmo, and now he's forced to face Vientos, Alonso, and then you pinch hit for Martinez. Like, it is just... Mendoza has everything going right. This team feels like it has everything going right. They're able to build off the momentum of the doubleheader, which, by the way, we should all be, all anyone rooting for the Mets, any Met fan, anybody hoping the Mets will win this game, win this series, and move on, should be thanking Major League Baseball. Because I firmly believe, like, and we talked about when it happened, and I remember Joe Beningo coming on with the afternoon show saying, oh my God, this is such a great advantage for the New York Mets. Because off of that loss Tuesday, I'd like to think now this team would have responded regardless. But off of that loss last Tuesday, a week ago, against Atlanta. Now, we don't know if Chris Sale would have been able to pitch. I don't think he would have. We didn't know at the time he wasn't going to go in that next game. But the way they then played the first two games in Milwaukee, you might not have seen this same kind of team. The idea they were able to go without facing the Braves those next 2 days, go to Milwaukee. Even though they didn't win the series, they take the last game. And yeah, they're helped a little bit by the Arizona Diamondbacks. But they get to that point. They get that doubleheader on Monday with the whole world watching and nobody else playing. They get that performance from Lindor and everybody else. And suddenly they are carrying that momentum right into this series, and you have now a matchup later today of Manaea versus Montas. How can you not feel good as a Met fan? How can you not feel positive as a Met fan right now? This is setting up perfectly for the Mets. And that game, to me, Mendoza trusting his starting pitcher, the other manager not. The Mets responding every time they fell behind. And then no answer from Milwaukee. And those two shutout innings from Severino. That's the difference in this game. Plus all the great at-bats in that rally, going the other way on almost exclusively every single hit. How good has Taylor been? How good is Vientos in this game? I mean, let's be honest, Iglesias, you could write a freaking book on his season. Like, just on his season alone. Obviously, Candelita and the song. Him coming up here in 340, his hit streak, the amount of infield singles, the big-time hits. His emergence as the starting second baseman when Jeff McNeil goes down with a broken wrist. Like, it's just remarkable how good this guy has been and what he's meant to this team. And right now, the vibes are through the roof. You feel like anytime they're down, that they respond. Now the bullpen's in probably better standing than Milwaukee, who went through it and had to pitch a guy in Savali, who I thought might have started in this series. And now clearly he won't. They go to him to save the bullpen down run four runs late in the game. And because of decisions made, the Mets now head into it with a clear better starting pitching matchup, an offense that you feel better about than Milwaukee's, a team that last year lost both of these games to the Arizona Diamondbacks, who without question you can probably tell are going to be as tight as a drum, your best pitcher on the mound, Montas, who they traded for halfway through the season, who's been terrible for them down the stretch, starting the game. And now, believe it or not, even off of the weekend, even off of the doubleheader, the Mets are probably in a better position over the next two with their bullpen than the Brewers are. I mean, it has come up roses for this team, and they've earned it. And they've made every critical play, and now they're seeing other teams make mistakes, and the Mets capitalizing on it. And the last 2 days have been as good of 2 days for Met fans as you could possibly ask for. Up and down. Obviously the other day, and then even today, Severino gives up two. How's his outing going to go? Then you're down 4-3 even after your rally. Peralta shut down 9 in a row. He's settled in. They have their bullpen locked up. Devin Williams is one of the best closers in the league. Like, that game heading into the fifth until he pulled Peralta, it felt like, I don't know about this game. And then with two outs and a runner on second base, and to me, that's the at-bat. The at-bat, again, I thought the at-bat in the first game of the doubleheader from Iglesias is underrated, and I think this is clearly the at-bat of the game. Because if he makes out there, they don't score any runs, and they're still down a run. And you don't have to bring in the lefty to face Nimmo and then get lined up for all those right-handed hitters. Iglesias' hustle to first base not only scores the tying run, but sets up the next four. That's an enormous hit. And they keep coming from the same guys. And if you look at it, eight runs, Lindor doesn't do much, they don't hit a home run, and yet they have these rallies. And it's guys that have been doing it all year, like Iglesias, and then it's guys like Winker who come through in the big moment. And then Severino decides to settle up after the fourth inning and after they take the lead and give you two shutout innings, two 1-2-3 innings that completely justify and validate his start. The Mets right now are feeling it. We're all feeling it. One down, one to go. We'll get into the other games around Major League Baseball. And maybe how they set up for the New York Yankees because, you know, I know I'm rooting for the Mets and everybody seems to have a problem with it in some way or another. But there is another team in town playing postseason games. That schedule is out. We got to get to it. And then what's going on in Jetland? Are they getting a new wide receiver? Is their current star wide receiver pissed off? Aaron Rodgers and Saleh's relationship, a lot going on with the Jets as they get ready to head to London to take on the hot Minnesota Vikings. So a lot going on this 5-hour midnight ride, and we'll take care of all of it between now and then.